Brian Noonan on WGN. I have not rented in a long time, thank goodness, because if I had problems with a landlord and they were not responding, I would be very upset. I'm not easy to deal with when I'm forced to confront someone. But maybe had I known about the Metropolitan Tenants Organization, I would have fared a little better. John Bartlett is the executive director of said organization. He joins me in the Allstate Showcase studio. John, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Why don't we start by tell me what the organization does?
Well, we're a nonprofit organization, and our mission is to educate, organize, and empower tenants so that they have a voice in their housing situation so that they have decent, safe, and affordable housing. And I think we do that because housing is such an essential need that it's if you don't have housing, it's really hard to find jobs. For
right.
kids, it's really, you know, they don't do as well in school. So this is like a key element of someone's life. So we try to make sure that they have housing or keep their housing.
And the organization deals with tenants of all income levels, right?
Yes.
If I'm renting something in the Trump on the top floor, if I'm renting something much less expensive somewhere else, I can still use the organization.
Yes, any residential landlord.
Right.
We don't do commercial kind
sure,
of stuff.
But if I'm living, no matter yes. where I'm living, if I have a problem with my landlord, I can contact you.
That's right. We have a tenants' rights hotline. Let me give you that phone
Please,
number.
Please, give me that phone number.
It's 773-292-4988. Mm-hmm. It's open from 1 to 5, Monday through Friday, and anybody can call and ask any question they want. We have counselors that are available that will help you out.
Very nice. And if you have a question for John now, 312-981-7200. All right, let's is there a way? I know, well, first of all, the peak rental season, I'm guessing, is the summer. Am I right? So we're kind of just past that.
Well, there are quite a few people actually that are moving in September and October.
Okay.
Like from colleges and things like that, and also this is the last time you can move for 6 months, so there's actually quite a bit of movement right now yet.
Okay, so this is the place. If I'm out there and I'm looking around, I've looked through the Tribune, I've looked through Craigslist, I've all these listings of apartments or houses or whatever, mm-hmm. and I've looked at a couple properties and I thought, oh, I might want to live here. What can I do as a tenant to check out the landlord? Because a lot of times, I would imagine if someone's trying to rent a property, it's like anything else. You put the best foot forward. You've got everything clean. You're speaking to the. Oh yes, you're assuring them that everything will be taken care of in a timely manner. If there's a problem, how can I check out a landlord?
Well, the first thing I would actually do is check out the neighborhood. Cool. I can't tell you how many people call that they at night they no longer want to have to walk down the street at night because they came and saw it during the daytime.
Okay.
So I think that's like the first very key thing that I want to suggest that people do is, you know, take a look at this prospective place where you're thinking of living at night and also see who the neighbors are. Sometimes there's bars around or things like that, so that those can always cause problems. The next thing I would do is when you're interviewing the landlord, you might want to get there early and see if you could talk to any of the other tenants in the building because
okay.
they'll probably have the best insights as to what that landlord's like. And the last thing that, you know, I really encourage tenants to do is to really get any things in writing. Like if the landlord says, I'm going to paint this, don't just take it at word. It's always best to put something in the lease or on a separate piece of paper that says, well, I'm going to paint this or I'm going to fix this, just so that there is no question about whether what was said, because you end up in all these he said, she said
right.
kind of situations, and it's, you know, best to put things in writing.
So when you're, let's go back to looking at the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
If I know a lot of time, and I watched Cody go through this because Cody is very transient. He can't keep a lease more than a couple months. I don't know what his problem is. But I listened to him set up appointments and they go and look. How many times should you look not only at an apartment or a property, but how many times should you go to a neighborhood? Because it seems to me just from what I've heard that things go pretty fast. Good prime places go quick. So do you have that time that to say, all right, I went and I saw the apartment in the afternoon, but now I want to go back at night and I'd like to go back on a weekend maybe?
I would just like check it out in the nighttime because that's going to be the key kind of time. So you could, even if you're thinking of it, go the day before and check out
right.
the neighborhood so that if it's is if you think it is going to be something that's hot on the rental market and you got to put your money down now, you know, I would still say it's better off to know what you're getting into rather than think, oh, this is such a great deal. And then 2 months later, you're thinking, oh, darn.
Yeah.
This isn't so great. And so check it out first.
Now, I hear all the time from the young people that I work with here and other places, you know, it's all Wicker Park. It used to be Lincoln Park was the big place. Where are some of the hotter areas that people are renting now?
Well, I would say the north and west side, the north and near northwest sides are probably the bigger spots. So certainly downtown Chicago is big if you can afford it. But certainly a lot of people are renting downtown now. You know, that's a lot of nice amenities and all that. And for the younger people, I just wanted to put out also that, you know, we're coming up with an app, which I'm really excited about.
Yes, I've got that. I want to ask you about that. But since you brought it up, let's talk about it. So tell me, this John Bartlett is my guest. He's the executive director of Metropolitan Tenants Organization. Their tenants' rights hotline, 773-292-4988. We'll put that all up on the Facebook page so you can check that out. So what's the app?
Well, what the app's going to do is to help facilitate communication between landlords and tenants. It's going to let you take a picture on your phone of a problem. Like, let's say you got a leak in your roof or something. You can take a picture of it, several pictures actually, and then you could send that off to your landlord with a little short email. Dear landlord, you know, here's the problem that we're dealing with. You know, can you come out and fix it? Right. If they don't fix it, you know, you'll get another email in a couple days or two that'll say, has a problem been resolved? If it hasn't, you know, it'll say, do you want to send the question again or do you want to escalate? And what this is all trying to do is set up, communication, because so the biggest issue I think that tenants or the problems that tenants run into is when they don't document their situation and when they don't put things in writing. Because we're such a, you know, cell phone or just call people up and you ask them to do something and, you know, if they're anything like me, you know, if I'm happen to be driving, I'm taking a call, which I know you're not supposed to.
Oh, John, come on.
Yeah, I know.
But this is not good.
Or if we're walking down.
Sure, walking down the street.
Down the street. Say, yeah, I'll get to that. And all of a sudden I get another call 2 minutes later. And it's like that first call.
Out of your mind.
Exactly. And I think we should just think that that's the same way with many people.
Yeah.
Is that so getting things in writing is really the key, and so that it's there in that way. In fact, the app will then document all the conversations.
Ah, so there's not going to be – it's a paper, an electronic paper trail, basically.
Exactly.
Very nice. And when are you expecting the app to be ready?
November 1st.
Very nice. Oh, it's
and
coming
on
up.
That, and when you were talking about moving in, there'll be a whole move-in checklist, too, that you can go right down and everything.
Oh, nice.
From who to call to get your utilities hooked up and about checking things out, putting things in writing and taking pictures of the condition when you move in so that they're, once again, when you move out, there's not any question. Like, well, there was a scratch here in the floor when I moved in, and the landlord would say, no, there wasn't. Exactly. You have it.
Well, so we're focusing on tenants' rights and tenants' responsibilities, but Rocky is in Bartlett. He has a landlord question. Hey, Rocky. There you are, Rocky. Sorry. Go ahead.
John, I just wanted to ask you, I know a lot of times that you know, people found that landlords are the bad guys here. But, you know, I mean, maybe the case, but, you know, I'm not one of them, of course, you know, I'm going to state that. But my question to you is, how about the other way around? What are the landlord's rights? Do you guys offer anything to help the landlords when you have a deadbeat person that's not paying the rent, and when it comes to paying the rent, he's coming up with all the excuses not to, and bringing up other issues that are not there.
Well, certainly I don't want to be defending all tenants about things,
sure,
because certainly there are good and bad tenants, just like good and bad landlords.
Of course.
But one of the things that I always encourage landlords to do is that I think good screening up front actually gets rid of tons of problems. So I don't know how, if you ask the tenant's previous landlord if they were, did they pay the rent on time? Did they pay the rent? You know, it would be an easy way to prevent things. I mean, paying rent, you know, for some folks is a difficult proposition. I was just reading in the Chicago Rehab Network report that 50% of renters are now paying over 30% of their income to rent.
And they know that going in. People know what their rent is. They know what they make. They know what their rent is before they sign the lease. So that's, you know.
Yeah, I know that's. Yes, but then I think the problems come up is like, let's say you get laid off.
Right.
Or you get a medical expense or your car breaks down. I think people, you know, because rents are high and it is hard to find really good, affordable housing, that they kind of take what they think they can pay. But if there's a problem that rises, that's when we, you know, run into issues.
Yeah, well, that I can't, you know, as much. Let me ask, Rocky, did you do a lot of screening? It sounds like you're dealing with this deadbeat tenant now. Did you do credit checks? Did you do some screening beforehand?
Yeah, you know, I did do the screening. He's a religious person, you know, pastor himself. So, you know, I had some good faith for him. And, you know, maybe I made a bad judgment call on this particular one. I have multiple units, and I've been doing good with a lot of people. But, you know, I just want, you know, other people to know that, you know, it's not that the landlords are bad. It's the, you know, the situations that we have to go through. Like, for example, moving forward, now I'm going to have to be a little bit stricter because on my screening process or whatnot. But it's you know, not putting John on the spot, but, you know, like, I understand that, you know, these tenants are going through rough times, but at the same time, it's the landlords too. You know, it's not like the landlords are, you know, if we don't pay the rent or the mortgages, of course, we're going to be in the same situation as these tenants are.
Of course. So, and, Rocky, I hate to cut you off. We got to get to the news. And obviously, when we talk about this, John, like you said, there's good tenants, there's bad tenants, there's good landlords, there's bad landlords. A lot of times the landlords have more of a legal standing because they're the property owner. They have that. The tenants sometimes don't know. If you're a property owner, you know what your rights are. If you're renting, even for the first time, you may not know all your different rights. So here's a question from the 630. A few years ago, I came home from a party and my landlord and his wife were in my apartment. They said they were checking the plumbing, but I found out later they had gone through our drawers, etc. I did nothing. But what could I or should I have done? Which I thought, that's a good question. And then tell me what you said about the situation.
Well, that's a common complaint in that
what?
Landlords coming in without permission and just showing up at people's doors and coming in. Sometimes even people are in the showers and they come walking in.
How can they do that?
Well, they have a key.
Well, I mean, I know physically how they can do that. I'm talking about ethically how they can do that. I understand.
Yes.
I understand they have access to the apartment.
Yes. Well, I think there's some landlords that believe that, you know, it's my apartment. I can come in and do with it whatever that I want. And I think that's,
wow.
I don't know that that's among a lot of landlords, but it's certainly a common of a small subsection.
Okay.
What the law is in Chicago is that a landlord is required to give a renter 2 days' notice, except in the case of an emergency, like let's say that a water pipe breaks.
Right.
Then of course you got to get in right away.
Sure.
and fix it. But otherwise, you're supposed to give 2 days' notice so that the tenant can actually be there if they want to be there. Mm-hmm. Or not be there. It's up to the tenant. And then you know, if that's like if you have guests coming over, that you can make arrange for an alternative time. So in the case of what the texter brought up, I would, one, document it. If the person doesn't leave, you know, you should call the police because, you know,
sure.
Who knows what's going on. And then lastly, I would once again document things by putting it in writing, saying on this day that you came in. If you come into my apartment again unannounced, you can be held liable for penalties of 1 month's rent for every time you do it in the future.
Well, and this is the kind of advice people can get when they talk to you guys at the Metropolitan Tenants,
yes,
Organization.
Exactly.
Because, listen, I'm not going to know that. If I'm just renting, I'm not going to know that I could, you know, do that. But with the 2 days, what would you say to someone then if, all right, you mentioned the landlord has to give 2 days' notice before they're coming in, and then the tenant can decide if they want to be there or not. And I'm guessing it depends on your relationship with your landlord, but how do you advise tenants to treat that? Do you advise them to have someone in their apartment, or even if it's a friend, a family member, or do you based on their relationship, say, listen, it's fine if the landlord comes in with it. But then they might bring in somebody else to do work there and leave them that you don't know, right?
That's correct. I think it is going to be based on your relationship with the landlord and also perhaps the reason that the landlord wants to come in. If it's right. to fix something, of course, well, I'm going to... Personally, sure. I'm going to want things fixed.
Exactly, but I don't want them rooting through my underwear drawer.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Hopefully that doesn't happen as much, but, right. but I guess what you have to do is just, it is based on the relationship, and if you want to be there, and a lot of tenants do want to be there because, as you say, there are other people that come in, like a plumber that
sure.
you don't know, and the landlord may not know them that well, so it's oftentimes a good idea to be present or at least to have somebody that you know that could be present.
What are the biggest or the most common, I guess, complaints that you guys receive?
Oh, the biggest complaint we receive by far is about the failure to fix things.
Okay.
I'd say it's almost 40% of the calls if you throw
really?
In non-heat and security issues. Yeah, it's really big.
Okay, so fall is here. Winter obviously coming. We hear all the time about the legalities of a landlord having to provide heat. What are those legalities? And can heat or hot water ever be used by a landlord as a punitive measure for late or no payment of rent?
Well, there's two questions there.
I'm
going to try go with the first one.
All right.
What the city building code says is that the landlord has to provide heat from September 15th through June 1st.
Okay.
That it has to be a minimum of 68 degrees during the daytime, 66 degrees at night. So if it's not up to those standards, then the tenant can, once again, document it. I would, even get a thermometer to start
right.
keeping a little a temperature diary
sure.
so that you can prove, like, well, the temperature was this, and or whatever. And you could potentially reduce the rent. If there's no heat during the middle of the winter, people should really call 311 right away, and the city will send out an inspector because, that can be dangerous
sure.
to your health.
Right.
So that's what the law is. And then your other question was,
can they use it as a punitive measure?
That is completely illegal. That would be considered a lockout.
Okay.
To turn off your heat or to turn off your hot water or electricity, which, it definitely happens a lot because the landlord doesn't want to go to court. So then they decide, well, this will be the way to get them out.
Right.
So it's illegal, and in that case, that is actually a criminal violation, and the police can actually get involved in that and force the landlord to turn the utility back on.
All right. John Bartlett is here. He's the executive director of the Metropolitan Tenants Organization, 312-981-7200. Let's go to Richard. He's in Chicago. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
What's your question for John?
This is Richard. Our question is, I've been renting a house in Chicago for 5 years, and just recently the house has gone into foreclosure, and I found out that the landlord hasn't been paying for the mortgage. It looks like for 5 years the house has even gone to auction, and the auction's been delayed a couple times, but I'm just wondering, should I still be paying my rent, or what are my rights?
Yes, you always have to pay rent whenever that you're in a building renting. It doesn't matter whether it's you have to pay
he
rent.
He has to keep paying
yes.
his rent.
Then your rights are if the bank takes it over, that you are allowed to continue to stay there. The bank can't really, if you have a lease, they have to honor the lease.
Okay.
That's what the law is. If you're on a month-to-month, they have to give you a minimum of a 90-day notice. And recently, the Chicago City Council passed a law that said if the building goes through foreclosure and the bank, like you're in a one or two, well, if the bank just wants to empty the building out, mm-hmm. which sometimes they do, then they have to pay each tenant $10,600 to relocate.
Okay. But if that doesn't happen, they have to at least... Whoever takes over that building legally has to honor the lease
yes.
or give you 90 days if you're on a month-to-month.
Yes.
Okay.
We're on a month-to-month, so it would be a minimum of 90 days if
yes.
the bank decided to
If the bank owns it and the bank decides just that they don't want it, they want an empty building,
right.
then you're entitled to that relocation money.
Hmm.
All right. Good luck, Richard.
Okay.
Take
care.
Thank you. So now, and this was, I was wondering this before, because we've talked about this with Karen Conti, who gives gives legal advice, where people don't know that their landlord isn't paying the rent and that the place is going into foreclosure. And this is, how common is that now? Is it less common now that the housing market has turned around a little bit? Was it more common a few years ago?
It's still pretty common. We get a lot of complaints from renters about their landlord going into foreclosure. A lot of times also it's about not fixing things.
Right.
That, you know, that
because it's, yeah.
Because they're losing the building and the bank doesn't have it. So they figure there's this kind of time when no one wants to take any responsibility for it. And it's just like, oh, well, what do I do?
So, right. And suddenly the tenant is the one who's stuck.
Yes. So, and certainly, I think it is very common, actually, even though there's a law that says a landlord is required to inform the tenant of when they go into foreclosure, that they often just don't do that because what's a tenant going to start doing? You know, they're
looking
afraid
for somewhere else to live.
Exactly. So, and they don't want to do that. They want to keep their rent money coming in so that they don't let the tenant know. So, you know, the tenant's kind of playing with half the information in this case.
Is there any Can a tenant, if they find out that the landlord had gone into foreclosure and say they still have 6-8 months left on their lease, is there a way for them to get out of that lease if they say, well, I don't want to take the risk that the bank is going to kick me out?
If the landlord doesn't inform them, right, then they could terminate the lease under the law.
Okay.
If the landlord does inform them, they do have to continue
to
honor the lease. Yes.
Even if we're in one of those situations, as you said, where the landlord has decided, well, I'm losing the building, I'm not going to fix it, and the bank doesn't own it yet, so they're not going to fix it.
Well, it depends on the conditions. If conditions are becoming dangerous, there are ways to terminate the lease. Yes.
Okay. John Bartlett is here. He's the executive director of the Metropolitan Tenants Organization. 312-981-7200 is how you get a hold of us. Dan's in Buffalo Grove. What's up, Dan?
Hey, hi. How are you guys?
Good,
hey,
thanks.
Listen, here's my question. I'm calling for a client, and here's the scenario. She received a letter that she has an order of possession and eviction notice that'll be coming within a week. And she's a renter, and she wants to know if she has to be out within 30 days, or does she have 90 days in regards to the Foreclosure Act, the Tenant and Foreclosure Act, that states that a tenant who has a lease in place will be allowed at least 90 days to move out, or at the very least, in some cases, a new owner will honor the remainder of the lease term. Can you direct me in regards to this scenario? What happens?
It's kind of what we were talking about before.
Yeah.
You said that they have an order of possession?
Yeah. The sale's going to happen this week, okay? And in the mail, there was received a letter stating that the court date of the sale is going to be on Friday, and the bank will ask for an order of possession and eviction at that time.
She doesn't own it, right?
Is she not?
She does not own it. She's a tenant.
And has she been named as a plaintiff? Is there any relationship between them? Or?
No, there is no relationship.
I think it would probably be best in this case to talk with an attorney. My concern is that if she was named as a plaintiff in the case, that the bank may actually be able to get around that provision of the law. So
Dan, you know what you should do? Call back after 8 o'clock. Conti will be here, and she's an attorney, and she always brings in a real estate expert with her, who is sitting quietly by. And so if we can't answer your question now, we might be able to answer your question in a little over an hour.
Okay, I'll do that.
All right, Dan. Thanks. Sure. Uh-huh. It's because I'm guessing it sounds like she got pulled in where she shouldn't have been if she's just a tenant.
Yes, it sounds odd. So that's why, you know, I really think you need to talk to an attorney, because in most cases, the tenant is not named in a foreclosure act.
Now, who mans the tenants' rights hotline? Is it attorneys? Is it volunteers? When people call 773-292-4988, 1 to 5, Monday through Friday, with tenants' questions?
All sorts of people.
All right.
There'll be staff, volunteers, some volunteer, well, the attorneys are volunteers too.
Very nice.
So then, yes, and some law school students. It's a whole range of people that answer the calls. They've all been trained by attorneys. They know.
They know the answers,
and
or they know who to put you in contact with if they don't.
Staff like myself that are always there to help them out with the tough questions.
Very nice. Over half the people in Chicago are renting.
Yep, 55%.
Wow. And that number, has that been constant? Has it gone up? Has it gone down?
It's actually been growing since the 2007 with the foreclosure crisis.
Okay.
As people's homes get taken away from them, they become renters.
All right. Yeah, you got to live somewhere.
Exactly.
An 815 texter says they rent, but they pay for their hot water and heating gas. Is that legal?
Yes.
Yeah. So
it's what's in the lease. It's certainly something that the landlord and tenant can negotiate. So.
Okay. And a texter from the 630, can you explain the city of Chicago's RLTO? What is the RLTO?
That stands for the Chicago Residential Landlord and Tenant Ordinance, and it's the law that governs almost all rental agreements in the city of Chicago, whether they're written or verbal agreements. And they cover all units that are, if they're owner-occupied of 6 units or less, then they would not be covered, else otherwise all other units are covered. So, okay. And it covers... what to do about security deposits, if the landlord's not fixing things, about coming into the unit, about leases, covers just the almost everything you could think of about residential landlord and tenant.
And people can get that information online and print that out? And
yes.
Have it?
We have it on our website, the entire law.
That would be at tenants-rights.org.
Yep.
So there you go. All right, let's say I've called you guys, I've followed your directions. I'm still having problems with my landlord that they just won't fix something, or they just won't address. They've turned a blind eye, a deaf ear to me. What's my next step as a tenant? Who do I contact to try to get things taken care of?
Well, I would say there's a couple of things you could do. One is, under the law, you can actually write if it's a small like repair thing, like let's say your stove isn't working, it would cost like a couple $100 to fix. The law would actually say that you can give the landlord a written notice, giving them 14 days to fix it. If it's not fixed, you could actually hire someone to come out and repair or replace it, as long as the cost of it is less than the half your rent or $500, which is ever the greater of the two.
Okay. And then do you withhold that money from your next rent?
Yes.
Does that work? Okay.
You would give the landlord a receipt
and deduct that from
deduct
your rent
it from the rent. Yes.
And as long as you've sent, so when you send these letters, if I were to send that to my landlord, do I send it certified mail?
We recommend send it both certified and regular mail, because sometimes we find that landlords don't always take certified mail from tenants, because they think, uh-oh, bad news.
Sure. And this would be to the bad news, unless they, you know,
yes,
were on it and got something fixed.
And sometimes we'll suggest that they actually send the letter in when they send their rent, because then you can document that, well, yes, in fact, they got it because they...
They cashed my check. So they had to open the envelope.
Exactly.
Makes sense. We got time for one more call. Joe is in Berwyn. Hi, Joe.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was interested in the conversation because I am a process server. I've served thousands of papers, a lot of which were foreclosures. And what happens at the end of a foreclosure, 9 times out of 10, the tenants do not know that the landlord's in foreclosure. And I show up after the property goes to auction. When it goes to auction, they send a process server out to check if the house is vacant or occupied. If it's occupied, you get the tenant's information. After that, after the property sells at auction, they send us back out with a notice simply stating that the property has changed ownership. That's not a notice to vacate the property. In Illinois, the law, as the gentleman said, is that they must give the tenants 90 days notice, which we also do. We will go out with formal documents stating this is your 90-day notice to vacate the property. If after that 90-day notice the tenants do not vacate the property, then they treat it like a landlord would a tenant not paying rent. They file eviction papers, and basically those tenants have to be notified of their 90-day notice that they want them to vacate the property. Otherwise, what they do is the cash for keys program, where they will, the banks all know that they have to give them 90-day notice, so they may offer them money to help with their moving expenses if they move out sooner than 90
days. Oh, just to get them out a little quicker. Joe, thanks for all the information.
We get a lot of tenants that call about the cash for keys. One of the things, once again, that I want to make sure everybody does is if you do have an agreement like that, get it in writing.
Right.
Because, once again, there's too many, you said you were going to be out on the 1st and today's the 2nd or whatever.
Sure. So everything should be in writing.
Everything should be in writing, yes.
How does Chicago stack up against other major cities as far as tenants' rights, tenants' complaints, things like that?
Well, it's probably better than Texas and not as good as San Francisco or New York. Yeah, there's several cities will, actually have more, they'll have rent stabilization kind of programs to keep rents from rising too much, and that would actually force people out of their homes because they can't afford to pay that. So it keeps rents more stable.
All right. And again, if people, the app is coming November 1st. So that's a very exciting time. That'll make things a lot easier for tenants as they're out and about. But in the meantime, if you need some information, you can contact the Metropolitan Tenants Organization. Their Tenants' Right Hotline, 773-292-4988. That's active Monday through Friday from 1 until 5. The website, tenants-rights.org. It'll all be on the Facebook page if you missed any of it. John, it was great having you in. Thanks for all the information.
It was great being here. Thanks a lot. It was fun.
We will talk again. See, I told you it wasn't going to be bad. You were all worried. We don't bite. Cody does, but that's after you're done. I tell him, don't bite the guest before the interview because that tends to put a damper on things. So enjoy your walk out. That's all I can say.